This evening, I want us to look at what makes us sad, which sounds like a hard place to start, but we'll come back to that. This week I watched a film called A Dog's Purpose. I don't know if anyone else has seen it. But it's a film roughly about a dog that's reincarnated lots of times. And throughout his many different lives, this dog is trying to work out what his purpose is. And along the way, the dog dies several times. And it's fair to say I probably cried three or four times. The dog died about four or five times, and three or four of them got me, I think. It's just something about dogs passing away that really gets me. I'm not sure if I'm the only person, but maybe it is just me. But there are other things in the world as well that make me sad, that break my heart. Young people that are lost and are struggling. So I'm in youth work because I have a heart for teenagers, a heart for helping young people. And it makes me sad that not all teenagers have someone that cares about them. It makes me sad that not all teenagers get the opportunity to explore what God has for them. But what makes you sad? The verse we're going to look at today is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." It's a verse that comes from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And this is a section of Jesus' teaching that is where he's announcing the blessings and promises of what God has and for his kingdom. So that's, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." What does the word mourn mean to you? What does it make you think of? The word mourn means to feel or express sorrow or grief for something that is lost. Often the first thing we'll think of is the loss of a loved one when somebody dies. And I think we can mourn for the loss of other things too. So the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship. But it's very easy to look at this verse as just a comforting verse, a passage for times of mourning. And I do believe it does mean that we have a God that cares about us and that comforts us during times of mourning. But what if there's something more in this verse? What if there is something for us in this verse when we're not in a specific time of mourning for someone we've lost or something we've lost? So instead of looking at this verse, "Blessed are those who mourn," in the context of bereavement, tonight I'd like to see if we could look at it in the context of mission. What if instead of looking at it in terms of bereavement, we look at it as God comforts those who mourn. God comforts those who mourn for the lost and strengthens them to do something about it. So let's take a look at two people from the Bible, both whose names begin with J, both who mourned, both who wept, both who grieved, and both who were on a mission. The first is Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet. A prophet, for those of you that don't know, is someone that God has sent to speak truth and to bring people back to God. Jeremiah was sent to deliver a message to his people, the Israelites, and these were God's people. Jeremiah was sent to deliver a message that they needed to repent and to turn back to God. This was his mission, because Israel had fallen away from God, and had broken their promise to follow God and to follow his ways, his laws. When Jeremiah rocks up with his message for the people, the things that are going on in the nation are pretty awful. There's idolatry, so worship of other gods. There's child sacrifice. There's corruption and massive social injustice for the most vulnerable in society. So the orphans, the widows, the refugees. And these people were Jeremiah's people. He prophesied that the Babylonian Empire would come and destroy Jerusalem as an instrument of God's judgment on his people. He was called to warn them of this judgment and to instruct them how to turn back to God. But the Israelites didn't listen. They didn't repent. And Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem. So the thing I want us to look at with Jeremiah is his heart. His sensitive heart. God told him what the mission was, to explain God's judgment and to prophesy over that and to tell the Israelites how to turn back to God. And he went out and he did it. He preached to the people of Israel for over 40 years and without any real success. They didn't listen, they didn't turn back to God, and Jerusalem was destroyed, just as he had prophesied. But throughout all of this, Jeremiah mourned for his people, for their brokenness and for their sin. The book of Jeremiah is full of mentions of mourning and of grief. He's mourning over the sin and the brokenness of his people. In Jeremiah 8, verse 21, he says, "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me." When I read that, I really felt his emotion and his mourning towards his people. "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me." Chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep and wail for the slain of my people." It's little wonder that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He mourned for his people. He cried for them. He was telling the people what they needed to do and they wouldn't listen. And still, he mourned for his people. There were plenty of times on his mission where he was struggling. He says in chapter 8, "You are my comforter in sorrow. My heart is faint within me." He must have been discouraged every time that the people weren't listening to him, that they ignored his teaching. But with God's strengthening and comfort, he continued on his mission. So let's go back to that way of looking at it in mission. God comforts those who mourn for the lost and strengthens them to do something about it. The second person we're going to look at, whose name begins with J, is Jesus. Jesus was a man on a mission. He was born the Son of God to fulfill God's plan for saving the lost. The lost being those who are far away from God, similar to Jeremiah. He came to point us to God and to take our sin and to die for us. Similarly to Jeremiah, Jesus' mission was a serious one. It was an emotional one, at times sad and mournful. Traditionally, stained glass windows and paintings of Jesus tend to portray him as somber or sad. I can't see any at the moment. But, yeah, because it's dark. They tend to portray him as sad or somber. He was constantly seeking out the lost and the broken, and he cried with them and he cried for them. Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus with that famous passage, "Jesus wept." And Jesus also wept and mourned for the people, for the world, for the lost, for the broken. In Luke 19, verse 41, it says, "As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it." He weeps over it again because he's mourning for the people. He's presented himself as their savior and they've rejected him. They've rejected his attempt to save them. He mourns over the fact that there's sin in the world and the people are lost and the people are broken. Jesus' mission was a serious one. And again, his heart was sensitive to the people he came to save, just like Jeremiah. He mourned for what was broken and he did something about it. It was his mission. Jeremiah was the same. He mourned for his people and again, he did something about it. So blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's what Jesus said, and that's what we see play out in his own life. He's mourning for the lost. He's been on a mission to save them, and at the height of that mission, at the most difficult point, just before he's about to be arrested and crucified, he receives comfort and strength from God. In Luke 22, he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." He's struggling. He's not sure if he can complete the mission, and he's asking for help. It goes on to say, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God came and comforted him, strengthened him so he could go on and complete the mission. God comforts those who mourn for the lost and strengthens them to do something about it. If we're trying to be more like Jesus, this is another part of his life and his ministry that we can try and copy. If we mourn for the things in the world that are lost and broken, God will comfort us in those things and give us the strength to keep going with whatever our mission is. Jesus gave us a pretty clear idea of what our mission is as well, to go and make disciples of all people and of all nations. Are we reaching out to those people who don't know God? And are we mourning for them? Actually experiencing things in a meaningful way allows us to experience comfort and strengthening from God. And this comfort shouldn't just be an emotional response. It shouldn't just be an emotional comfort. It should be a comfort and a strength that gives us the comfort and strength to go out and comfort and strengthen others. It should be a comfort and a strength that comforts and strengthens us to go out and comfort and strengthen others. And that outward-looking focus is summed up perfectly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So what is our mission? What's my mission and what's your mission? You might already know what your mission is. Robert Pierce was the founder of World Vision and Samaritan's Purse, which are both Christian humanitarian aid charities. While on a missions trip to China, he saw massive hunger and poverty. And when he got back, he wrote on the inside of his Bible, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Let my heart be broken for the things that break the heart of God." For me, God has given me a specific heart for young people. A specific heart for young people who have grown up in church as well, but who haven't ever really explored faith for themselves. When young people leave the church because they don't believe the same thing as their parents, it makes me really sad. Partly because that was me as a teenager. But if they haven't really had the opportunity to explore faith for themselves, if they haven't been asked the right questions, there's a big group of people there who don't get the opportunity to explore faith for themselves. And they're missing out on a relationship with God. I feel that God has called me to this mission at this time. And at times it can be difficult and discouraging. But the more my heart breaks for that group of people, the more comfort I receive, the more strength to keep going, and the more opportunities to help. My challenge to you is to think of what makes you sad. What breaks your heart? What is it in the world that breaks the heart of God and that breaks your heart as well? Who is it in your life that's lost or broken? When we mourn for these things, when our heart breaks for them, that becomes our mission. And on that mission, we might come across struggles. We might face hardships. We might feel weak. But we have a God who will comfort us, who will give us the strength. And with that comfort, we can go on to strengthen others. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Or, God comforts those who mourn for the lost and strengthens them to do something about it. Let me pray for us. Father God, I pray that you would give us, as your people, a mission. Would you break our heart for a specific people group? Would you break our heart for what breaks yours? Would you comfort us when we struggle, when we're discouraged? Would you give us the strength to keep going on with our mission, to share you with the lost and the broken? Amen.